Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. For a long period of my life, I held the belief that sermons should never be repreached. I'm not exactly sure where I came up with that philosophy, but it just seemed lazy of a preacher to not search out God's message for that particular congregation he or she would be ministering to. While I still hold that it is important to have the mind of God and the heart of God every time a preacher stands to deliver the word, it seems acceptable in my brain for a preacher to revisit themes and illustrations as God prompts them. I'm very glad that this particular allowance has been made in my life because in our episode today, Pastor and President Reverend Paul D. Mooney revisits a sermon entitled, "The Lord Rides on a Swift Cloud." I may have struggled with a repreach of this sermon in my previous belief system because this is not a new sermon to Pastor Mooney. However, his transparent delivery is evident at one distinct moment when he's reflecting on his current situation, he and Sister Mooney's current situation, and he remarks something to the effect of, "We need God to come on a swift cloud." He delivers this classic sermon to 135 potential Indiana Bible College students, along with the student body during IBC Connect, our preview weekend here on campus. I know that you will enjoy this sermon, but first, we need to make you aware of Indiana Bible College Music Fest, happening April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of 2020. IBC Music Fest is a ministry of Indiana Bible College hosted by Calvary Tabernacle here in Indianapolis, Indiana. The conference is designed to challenge and inspire those involved in church music and worship arts ministry. The teaching staff includes some of the most outstanding music ministers, directors, musicians, songwriters, and recording artists in the apostolic movement. For more information and to register, visit ibcmusicfest.com. We look forward to seeing you April 22, 23, and 24 here in Indianapolis. Right now, just a quick little reminder that the Lord rides on a swift cloud.
So to really move forward with the oneness movement and the wonderful, tremendous revival that swept the world and is still sweeping the world today, somebody had to depend upon the Lord. Now, depending upon the Lord should not be something that you panic about. Just remember that God is your strength and God is your helper. And He's not ever going to let anything happen to you. And God will bless you and He will walk with you and keep you. And it is God that will, shall we say, design your destiny. And it is God that will empower you your ability to do the things that you have been called to do. It will not be your talent that gets it done. There's a certain kind of thing you have to embrace to really become what God wants you to be. And you can practice all you want on the organ. And you can try as hard as you can to work on your oratorical skills in some kind of professional way. Both of those things are important, and you should rehearse, and you should practice, and you should make sure that your talents are really given as a result of development and the way you work and the way you practice and you do all that stuff. But there's still something else. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. And let's talk to one of these great prophets. And let's see. Let's go to Isaiah 19, maybe. Is that where it's at? 19 where? 1. Oh, yeah. I got it marked, but I just don't want to go look for it. Somebody asked me not too long ago, he said, what is the sermon that you've most enjoyed and preached about or whatever? I want to share it with you today. So go to Isaiah. Where did I say 19? I'm messing with you a little bit. You know, none of us are all that bright. I think, I'm not real sure about this, but I think this is the first sermon I preached at Calvary Tabernacle. I'm not real sure. I preached this sermon across the country over and over, I guess, lots of times. But it's not just a sermon. It's a certain way to approach God. The prophet maybe didn't know exactly how to deal with God and how to weigh out God's will for us. You know, all of us have some idea of how things ought to be, but God actually wants to shape us in ways maybe we do not understand at all. So we don't know. And there are ways that God can reach out in communities and overcome racism or deal with things that we can't deal with. Maybe you're just without any money. You don't know what to do. You don't get very much help from people that maybe in your family that say, well, you're wasting your time going to the Bible college and you're wasting your time at church and you can't make much of a living preaching and all that. God can bless you in a great way, but there's not massive amounts of money in religious work and Pentecostal work, and that really is true, whether you believe it or not. But there's something that caught me many, many years ago, and I've dealt with this tremendous idea because it's more than just a word or a verse or a thought. It is a completely dominating idea, and you really have to embrace it to become what God wants you to do. Somebody read it up here, would you? Because here we learn something about God's techniques. How does God get things done? Well, God gets things done in ways that we do not understand. In fact, you don't always get a plan. You don't always have it worked out. I've sat in meetings and committees, and you have too. Many of you have done this. We're going to work this out. We're going to go to Africa. And it takes some kind of, you've got a plan. It takes planning. You need a ticket to get on the airplane and that kind of thing. But don't forget that there is an ultimate purpose that you can't even describe. You don't even know. You don't know how to work it. And you can raise money and buy your ticket, and you can go wherever you think God has called you to go, but you still cannot do God's work by yourself because you really don't know how to break through. You don't really know how she wasn't so young, but the lady who was making a book at Indiana University, and she came, and a big part of the book of Christians in Indiana, about Christian and churches and religion in the state of Indiana. And it's a big old thick book, and there's a whole lot in that book about Calvary Tabernacle and about Brother Haywood's work and how that the Pentecostals were treated in kind of a bad way, she told me. She said, but there was something that the Pentecostals were doing that no one else could do. And she referenced that tremendous baptismal service. And she said, how did your churches do that? And I had a chance to witness from the university, Indiana University. And it's a big, thick book. Many of you have seen it. It's about the religion of Indiana. And she said to me, This is one of the most amazing things in the whole story of religion in the state of Indiana. And there's quite a bit of space about Calvary and many other oneness people. You see, people know that there are other people in this world that somehow get things done outside of the systems of men, outside of the education of men, outside of the thinking, and outside of the way that the men work. And this is how we do this. And you can get really mixed up real quick if you start thinking that your ministry can be developed by you or your dad or your mother or your pastor. You're going to have to wait upon the Lord. You're going to have to find a way to get to where God wants you to go. And that requires something called faith. And faith has to wait many times. Faith is not just a snap like that. Faith is walking with God through every trial, through every test, through every set of circumstances. You've got to go even when you don't know how to go. And you've got to get to where you need to be. And yet you don't always know where you are or where you should go. The apostles went out and went out to the whole world. And the Bible says clearly, is it not true, that they did not know how they were going, where they were going. Jesus just said, go. Now I come to one of the most famous refreshing and influential little space in the Bible. Not, I wouldn't want to say it's the one thing, the great thing, but this is the at least an element that I have hung to and tried to get other people to think about what the prophet is learning through the anointing. So someone read it for me. Could you read it for me? Now the burden of Egypt. Now we're talking about the world there. The burden of the world. See, what the world doesn't know, that the world has got a problem with the church. Let me explain it to you. A Holy Ghost service can wipe out somebody's desire for opium. Just go to one of the worst things in the world. But you get somebody in church and get them filled with the Holy Ghost, they can get clean in one night. They can lay down the burden, and the forgiveness comes, and the power. We often say the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because it is an anointing, and it is a power. And it does shape us. It does make us into new creatures. What we cannot do, God can do. And God does not work along our strategies. As a matter of fact, you probably are going to ruin your life with too many personal strategies. And you look at somebody else and you say, well, how did you get to such and such a place? And how did you become that person? And how did you build that church? The apostles said, we just went out and we didn't even know where we were going. And they went to jail, and some of them sadly lost their lives. And there were many hardships and many things. And they perhaps had to go back. I don't know. But maybe they caught the old prophets. I don't know that it was a frustration, but it was an idea that he had to live out. So what does it say, Isaiah?
The burden of Egypt.
Now, the burden of Egypt. This is Egypt's problem.
Behold the Lord.
Behold the Lord. I just love this. This is like saying God's got a race car. What does he have?
Rideth upon a swift cloud.
Swift cloud. He can move. Don't you ever think God can't get it done. The Lord rides on a swift cloud. If somebody, what would be the hottest automobile? I mean, just your ego. If you could have come to the campus and you said, I don't want to go to Indiana College. What's the name of our school? Bible College. That doesn't matter a whole much either, you know? And Well, here, look at this. And so you say, well, I'm going to buy the coolest car. What would you, if you really wanted, if you come here to find a date and you wanted to get a car to get attention so that you could find the sweetest little girl on this whole campus, if that's the reason why you came, some people do come for that, and you will fail, but that's all right. We'll feel sorry for you. And someday you'll be in the bank or something, you know. And somebody else will be out in Africa saving souls. But you'll have your car. What car would it be? Just give me something. I'm not going to hurt you. I slap you a little bit, but not too bad. Right? What? An Audi? Audi? Is that the hottest car in the world right now?
No.
Well, why did you say it? Don't mess with me now. What? No, what it would be a really cool car. What are the guy with the cool? You got a car here? You got a Ferrari here on campus? Make sure you pay your bill, buddy. All right. Who's got the coolest car on campus? Somebody's got a GTO, an old one? 60? A 6.0? Oh, 6 speeds? Is it new? It's an older car, that's what I thought. But it's a hot car. Yeah. Who's got that? Who's got the Pontiac? This is the student that rides on a Swift Pontiac. Is he here? Well, he's out driving his car. Where's he at? Isn't this a required chapel? He didn't make it. Isaiah comes. He comes up with this fact. The fact that we are weak and we do not have a method. We don't have a way. We can't plan it out. In fact, we need to develop a concept of what God is, how God moves and how he works. How does he work? How does God accomplish things? How do we get from A to B? How do we really develop our ministries and our lives? And how do we find a way to get that anointing into our spirit? We've got to find a way that we can trust in God and be surrendered to God. But dealing with God is not an ordinary thing. And this is what the prophet is learning as the Spirit speaks to him. Take in mind always, every day of your life, the Lord rides on a swift cloud. He doesn't work within the technology of your thoughts, or he doesn't work through your talents necessary, as I've said of the apostles. They just had to wait upon the Lord. And it is this idea, it is this tremendous truth that I think we have to embrace in these last times. It is vital. The burden of this world, we could say, the thing that this world does not know about God is that God rides on a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved as soon as you get your axes out and start chopping them up. No, God can, his very presence alters the atmosphere. When the Holy Ghost comes in, your talents are laid down. When the Spirit moves into the church, something begins to happen. We could say this is what happens. We went to church one night and something got a hold of us, the old timers used to say. But maybe we could go back to Isaiah and he would say, isn't it something? It's like a swift cloud. It comes down. God moves through ways and means God talks to us. He speaks to us. He helps us. He puts into our lives things that are so mysterious that you cannot really figure it out. So I'm watching Sister Mooney and I and our situation and the sickness or the trouble. I think of this and think of that and different things happening in our lives. But we always have to remember the Lord rides on a swift cloud.
Yes, 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 yes.
And that is what you must have inside your spirit, inside your consciousness, in the way you look at things. That means that you can go fast, faster than the Pontiac. Was it a Pontiac?
Yeah, Pontiac.
I can't even believe in anybody would even want a Pontiac. What would we want that would be better and more powerful than God?
Yes, come on.
And what we need is the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
And you can't just dig it all out of some old book. Your preaching's got to come into your thinking and into your spirit and into your life so that you can say, not just in some abstract way or something that you read, but something that you felt, something that you've learned, something that you have figured out. That, look what God has done for us. Look what God has done for us.
Almighty God.
Those are the things. You know, I tell stories sometimes of things that happen in our life. I hate to do it sometimes, but I need to just say it over and over. The Lord comes in a swift cloud. I'm in a church preaching, and I don't have anything. I think I had $2 or $3. That was it. I didn't even have enough gas to get to the next meeting I was trying to get to. And all of a sudden, I was thinking, well, I'd been asked to preach. I may have told you this story. And and I was getting ready to preach, and I was sitting on the platform, and the preacher came in and they said, would you mind if this preacher would preach because he's one of the greatest preachers in the world? And so I said, yes, of course. And then the next thing he said, he's going to preach. So they got up and I was thinking, oh, Lord, this is going to be bad. I'm down to $2. And so the man preached. He goes, Oh yeah, there's a young evangelist here. They took up an offering and they put the offering under his feet. And he got up to preach and he said, how much money was in the offering? Because I don't, it was a little, pretty small. He said, I don't preach for that. Oh, that's cheap money. You asked me to preach and you give me that bad offering. And he said, I want at least $80. This was a long time ago. You could almost buy a Pontiac with that. So they kept taking up offering, and they couldn't get it. And they finally got it up to about, 60 or something. And then he said, how much is it? How much is it? And he said, no, let's put $20 more dollars on that. And some old man jumped up and said, here's $20, preach! He was really aggravated. He wasn't nice at all. And they went and got his $20 bill. And then the man... They put it under his chair, and he reached over, and he took it out of the chair and put it under my chair. The Lord moves on a swift cloud. See, that's when you start learning that you've got a God that is with you. How could all of that happen? For one thing that happened, and you know it happened because God wanted to show and help me to understand that he rides on a swift cloud. He can come when you don't even expect it. My goodness, I didn't even have to preach. And they never had me back to preach at all. It was a little independent church in Kentucky. They never had me at all. I never even saw those people again. But I still can see that man pulling money out of his pocket. And I can still see Brother Lovelace and sliding that money. I knew it was 80-some bucks. And I'm going, oh. Oh, the Lord rides on a swift cloud. I wasn't thinking that there, but this is, and I look back on life, and this is what I would pray for you. You'll be able to look back if you follow God, if you trust in God, if you lean not on your own understanding, if you just wait for God, if you go when God says go, you believe when God tells you to believe the impossible. You can tackle the world. You can talk. You can tackle the problems. You can deal with whatever it is. And you know what you will come out with? You will come out with a faith. When somebody says you can't do this and you can't do this, you can say, but the Lord rides on a swift cloud, and you just don't know how great He is. I've already found out that He's a provider, that He's a helper, He's a healer, He's a way maker. Somebody say yes.
Yes.
And when you wake up in the morning, Egyptians will never understand what God does in your life. I'm going through a trial. Sister Mooney's going through a trial. Everybody knows that. But I just keep in mind, Sister Mooney and I, last night, holding hands. She's very, very ill, extremely ill. But it was just a wonderful thing to be able to say, God's with us. And even though we don't understand it, we don't know where it will take us, but we've already learned that God takes you, sometimes through sickness, sometimes through success, good things, things that are easy to tell, and then some things that you learn from God are not easy things to tell or to explain. But sooner or later, you'll look back and say, isn't it wonderful how the Lord just rides on a swift cloud and gets us into His presence and into His anointing? What a mighty God we serve. In fact, the Bible says in another place in Isaiah chapter 48 that things are created in the now. That's an interesting verse. In fact, God doesn't even want you to talk about some things because they're created in the now. Isaiah chapter 48, it's done in the now. Some things are prophesied things. Some things are told about. But there are some things that just come into your life. This is what I would try to challenge you, is to understand that if you will just wait upon God and watch for God's will and God's purpose, and because you can't give an answer. Now, I want you to take this in context, but there will be people that love you, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, that will say, you'd be really stupid to go out and do this. You would be very stupid to go to Bible college. You just can't go overseas. You can't just get into a missions program. You don't know enough about that. But if you wait for God, you'll see that God begins to move. He works in a now. He works in a dimension. And that is what we so tragically need in these last days. We need young people that can understand the Lord rides on a swift cloud. And keep that as the strength of your faith. And don't ever let anybody discourage you. The Lord rides on a swift cloud. And that is the burden of this world, because they do not have that power. They do not have that ability. But you have what is needed in these last days to get the job done. And you don't have to get tired. And you don't have to get weary. You don't have to lose your mind. God is with you. And don't depend upon what you see. Don't say, God, I want to be like so-and-so. Look how talented they are. Look what a great preacher he is. And there are people that have natural talents. And sometimes the Lord uses those people, and they move in a certain way, maybe. And they have some things that you might even be jealous of. But be careful of that. Because it's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I'm trying now to encourage every person that I can, and I think I can take some liberty here today and just remind you, you do not have to teach little children how to speak in tongues. You hear me say this all the time because it needs to be stopped. The Lord rides on a swift cloud. Wait for God to get there. Wait for His healing to come. Wait for His anointing to come. Wait for His power to come. And I will promise you, not only through experience, but also through what the Word has taught us, we'll go, God, wherever you send us. And those apostles had all kinds of problems. You could find them in the jail. You could find them in places, horrible problems. But you see, they knew something. He'll come. Someday, it may not be today, but maybe tomorrow, those old jail walls will begin to fall down, and God will make a way. What do you say? Let's quit moving and let's stop depending upon ourselves. I am so happy for all of our special guests. And could we put our hands together to all of our visitors that are here today? Come on, make them welcome. Woo. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, yes. God is with us. There is no throne. There is no special place. There is no big high place. There's no place where you're ever going to be satisfied with popularity. Don't try to be popular. Just do what God tells you to do. Don't worry about that. Just wait on God, and He will hold you up. And when you look back, somebody will say, how did it happen? How did you make it? You had that old stupid Pontiac, couldn't hardly get from revival to revival. And maybe you'll say, I discovered that the Lord rides on a swift cloud. That He just came along and helped us. How does that happen? I don't know. I don't know how that happens. I was so broke in Muskegon at one point. Broke. Had kids. It was a cold night. I know you won't even believe this. It'll be hard to believe this. Somebody knocked at the door. He stuck out his head. He said, you Pastor Mooney? He said, I know you, but you don't know me. He said, but I'm driving down your road. It was a block away. He said, I knew you lived around there somewhere, but I didn't know exactly. He said, something spoke to me and said, go give Pastor some money. He said, out loud to himself, he said, how much should I give him? And God, he said, give him all you got. He's knocking on the door. I can't feed my family. I never saw the man. He knew me. We came to be friends over time, but not that night. And it was cold, snowy. Hello. I'm so-and-so. The Lord told me to stop by your house. $800. It was like a lot of money back in those. The Lord. Comes. And you must never forget it, because it's in the context. God said, those Egypt folks don't know how powerful you are. And they will be frightened. What you are facing, young people, is a revolution like the world has never seen. The technological revolution. And you're right in the place where the world wants you and wants your children. They're able to access you. And you know the pornography crimes that are everywhere all over this world. This is a very serious thing. You will have to deal with this. It's taking control of the entire world. But don't forget, God rides on a swift cloud. And we don't know and probably never will know. But if you will keep moving, God will reveal to you what you do not know. I didn't know that man, but God made a way. And that man was an influence in my life for the rest of the time. He's passed away now, but tremendous help to me was always watching out. God rides on a swift cloud. He's there for you. And so don't get let's just say you find out now that you're at IBC, I know I got to quit. This is it. And you find out that you can't sing so good. I see Brother Anderson, and he's probably going home and saying, boy, I know that girl wants a solo, but that just ain't no way. He'd like to give you a solo, but you're just going to have to wait for a swift cloud. But you know what might happen? Next time you turn around, maybe 5 years later, old Lyndall will look back and he'll say, my God, they got her up to sing. But the Lord comes on a swift cloud, puts anointing. My mother was a singer in church, but she was a horrible singer. She wasn't a good singer, but there was something about my mother. When my mother started singing, it was like a swift cloud, boys and girls. People just would stand to their feet, and it was just amazing because it was the anointing of God. And I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Keep this in your mind. And don't just think of this as a simple little thing that's in the Bible. What God was trying to say through the prophet is this magnificent, those magnificent possibilities are not based upon your talent or not even your education. You need an education, but that's not what you really need at the end of the day. You need an understanding that God rides on a swift cloud and he can lift you up. And people that thought you would never make it, you'll make it and you'll overcome. And when the trial comes and the test comes, and they will come, the things you can't explain, they will come. But just keep on trusting in the Lord. He rides on a swift cloud and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Think of the apostles going to prison, doing so many things that they didn't even know. They confessed that they didn't know exactly where they were going or what they were doing. But when it was all over, God was with them. How many will, in this chapel today, stand to your feet and say, I'm going to do my best, Brother Mooney, to trust in the Lord for my ministry and for my life? In an appropriate way, you may be somebody that you... If you can just hold somebody's hand up, it's just a short little while. We're not going to hold hands for 25 minutes. So just lift your hand up, just like you would shake hands. Jesus, thank you for these visitors that are with us today. And thank you for these young people that are searching for your will. Help them to understand that they can ride that swift cloud, that they can take their lives and place their lives in your hands. And you will shape them. The world will never understand how fast they can move and how great they can do. Just as Isaiah understood that the Egyptians looked about and they saw the work that was happening. It was like a swift cloud. Nobody could understand it. God, I'm praying for these students, and not only these students, but all of our young people from coast to coast. I pray, God, that you will bless them in all of our schools and all of our churches. God, we ask you to pour out your spirit. Touch IBC and watch over us. Thank you for these special guests here today. Bless us, Lord, and keep us in Jesus' name. Turn and shake hands with somebody. And say, the Lord rides on a swift cloud.
Amen, amen, amen. Come on, how many want to respond to that? How many would say, I'm walking by faith? Has there been anybody here that maybe the enemy's come against you and he's discouraged you and he's beat you down? He told you, might as well give up on ministry, don't start. How many could say, but I believe there's a God? Come on, there's a God. How many would identify with it right now and say, Lord, I know you've called me. And God, I'm not listening to the enemy. But today could be the day of decision. Why don't you just step out in faith and say, I believe what was preached. Come on, God will bring you through every trial. God will help you overcome your past. God will lead you down a path and you'll end up 10 years down the road. And you'll say, oh, my, look at what God has done. A swift cloud. He brought me through. Hey man, why don't you just lift up your hands right now? Come on, connector. Why don't you let this chapel be that moment where you say, God, I surrender my life to you. I give it to you right now, oh Lord. I place it in your hands. I may not know the future. I may not know how this works, But Lord, I do know that you are always in control, and there is nothing outside of your power and your ability. God, I give it to you. My life is in your hands. My faith is in you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Sing that song again. I want you to make some room, though, and I want there to be a connector that's going to make a decision. Maybe you even being here is an absolute miracle of God, because the enemy has tried to destroy you. He's tried to mess with you. Maybe even family and friends did not even understand why you were even attending or thinking about attending. But I want to know if there's a connector. You need prayer. You need God to move on your behalf. Come on, move back. I want you to step out right now and come down to this front. Come on, you're here, you're facing the decision. The weight of the world is upon you. You need a miracle. Come on, that's it. Make some room. I want you to come down here and lift your hands up right now. Come on, hurry, hurry, hurry. Push through. Push through. You don't have time to be nice at this moment. You get to this altar right now. Come on, the devil's been against you every step of the way. He's tried to discourage you. He's tried to beat you down. Come on, your waiting's over, because God has showed up on a swift cloud this morning. Come on, I want you to lift your hands up. Come on, IBC, you've been there. Come on, students, you've been there. You know what they've been battling. I want you to run up to this front and lay your hand, and we're going to plead the blood of Jesus. Come on, that's it, in the name of Jesus. Come on, you feel that? It's a swift cloud. Come on, every idol's been pushed out. The enemy will be defeated. Come on, in the name of Jesus, pour out.